from Mark, Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them the Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he should be the last of all and the servant of all." And taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." So the gospel of the Lord. This gospel uses a great teaching technique to capture our attention. Someone commits an obvious blunder, and then the teacher uses the occasion to correct the situation with a marvelous juxtaposition between the so-called greatest and the little child to lead us into a new understanding of the issue and life itself. The tension or energy between the ambitious disciples and the simple little child, a kind of non-person in that culture, only serves to increase our attention and enjoyment of the story. A wonderful teaching moment. One of the commentators that I read pointed out that the egocentric mistake may not have been quite so bad in the culture in which it appeared. After all, in a hierarchic society, establishing one's place and identity was more the usual way of gaining what we might call a positive self-image. We would use the measure of our achievements for this, but there it was your place in the order of things. We have to be careful here because on hearing this little story, we might say, well, at least I've never been so foolish as to brashly proclaim in public that I'm the greatest. You might miss out on the full possibilities of the teaching. Much of my time as a priest has been spent in building up the egos of uncertain and tentative people. We Catholics can be passive, timid souls sometimes who do our best to avoid sin and wonder why so many people do their very best to avoid us and the gospel. Jesus places the child in their midst and builds his teaching around the fuller potentialities that can be found in this child who is loved and is about to engage in the full opportunities of life. Parents, teachers, confessors spend a good deal of time loving a child into an appropriate self-confidence. The question is not really, have you done enough to avoid sin and evil with your life? It's more like this. Are you really great enough to fully engage in life with Jesus Christ? Now, for many people, religion is a caution, a measure to keep us away from sin, out of trouble, while our real life is really somewhere else. I like things to run smoothly to avoid trouble, and I draw comfort from a certain peacefulness that comes from this. But the question remains in this, is this the fullness of Christian life? Would I reach the end of my journey only to say, is that all there is? By loving people, we do more than just keep them out of trouble. We identify their real potential and self-worth, and there's real joy in this. Marvelous painting I've come across by Henry Osawa Tanner that depicts a black sharecropper teaching his child to play the banjo. It's called a banjo lesson. In the rough surroundings of a cabin, a strong man holds the banjo in front of him, the little boy on his lap, just peering over the top of the drum of the instrument and placing his fingers on the banjo and learning to fret and strum the instrument. We presume that the father of the child is taking him into a whole new world of beauty and self-worth, and the expression on the child's face is simply marvelous. He's also bringing him into an area of real fun and joy, and sometimes we miss that. This leads me to the question, not about how modest and self-effacing you are, but how open you are to the full possibilities of your life opening out to the greater realization of your acceptance of the love of Jesus at the very center of your being. This is who you really are, or can be, and it certainly is the greatest that anyone can be. But it's a greatness that doesn't slight our brothers and sisters with odious comparisons, but attempts to build them up. We'll find that in accepting Christ, we have the freedom to identify and call forth all that is best in our brothers and sisters. And the richness of this experience is not really limited to our families or predictable friends, but cuts across barriers and boundaries, shattering the loneliness of our human condition. I suspect that this is what Pope Francis is trying to tell us when he wants us to take our religion out into the streets. Certainly, there are issues around the quality of life, peace and war, ecology, respect for the earth, and so on. And we're not going to agree on this with these issues with everyone. And we can use these issues to keep us separated from those who do not agree with us. In my experience, this happens as much in the church as in society at large. We'd argue about this issue forever and nothing would change. Or we could engage our brothers and sisters in surprising new ways and begin to realize the full potential of our humanity, our following of Christ, and their beautiful self-worth. Richard Rohr, Franciscan spiritual guide, in just a sentence or two, captures this experience. It also lies at the heart of his ministry. This is from his daily meditation book, Yes And. I quote here, "You do not think yourself into a new way of living as much as you live your way into a new way of thinking. This is one of the core principles of the Center for Action and Contemplation." Well, I am the greatest? Certainly not. And that's not the question I need to ask. Rather, am I willing to allow the adventure of coming alive to life in Christ to find expression in me? We need not be anxious about this. We can slow down and discover what reality is, what's really possible with the ordinary people who come our way. We're not anxious to impose our belief system on them, but we can learn from them, be blessed by their attention and the freedom that they enjoy in our presence, because we did not dump our worldview on them or hold them to some impossible standard. To live and breathe in the Spirit, we all need a double portion of God's mercy. It's wonderful to see how people can come to life and respond to such attention. But enough of the preliminaries. I need to be great enough to allow you to love me in a way that will make me whole and set me free. I need to identify and appreciate that greatness in you. We religious types can be cautious sometimes, rigid or fearful. Life to the full must have its way with us. And through pain, uncertainty, and mercy, we rise with our brothers and sisters to that fuller expression of God's love, alive in our regard for and service to one another, and especially the strangers in our world. I can never be greater than this, but I would hate to miss out on it through some fearful, self-deprecating humility. Come to life in the gospel promise. Enter into the greatness of love for all people. And God will bless you beyond all your imagining. God bless you this day.